For those who I haven't met yet, I'm Wayne, member of the congregation. We weren't sure that whether Matt and Azalea would be here this weekend. So it's good to have you with us. And thank you for everyone who's been praying about my ankle as well. For those who don't know, I broke my ankle. So let's pray. Father, you have given us your word so that we may understand your character, your requirements, and your love for your people. May the Holy Spirit use today's passage to bring understanding to your people. Open our hearts to hear you, Lord. Help us to stand firm in you. Amen. Recently, I watched the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And if you haven't seen these movies, the heroes include a raccoon called Rocket, and a humanoid tree whose whole vocabulary during the movie is, "I am Groot." It started me thinking about all the aliens that have been created in movies and TV shows over the years. It shows some quite imagination, and some of those aliens have been good, some of those have been not so good. So I googled alien movies, and there's a list of hundreds of movies, including some not so serious ones. For example, one that featured the Three Stooges, and another titled Abbott and Costello Go to Mars. But as my kids are absolute mad Doctor Who fans, I decided to Google the aliens in Doctor Who. And again, the list was hundreds. From mutant Daleks in their robotic shells calling out exterminate, to the adipose who are marshmallow-shaped blobs of fat. Now, you've probably got in your mind some picture of an alien creature. But I don't think it would be a picture of yourself. The Apostle Peter calls us aliens and strangers in the world. In the passage we're looking at today, there's a clear picture of what it means to be aliens in the world. We are continuing to look at the farewell discourse that Jesus is having with his disciples after the Last Supper, but before his crucifixion. In last week's passage, Jesus was imploring the disciples to remain in Christ and to bear fruit. Jesus was setting the scene for the mission that he had set aside for them. In Acts chapter 1, we read Jesus' last words on earth to the disciples, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So did they do as they were instructed? Well, Acts goes on to outline what the disciples achieved, and it certainly was fruitful. Churches planted, Jews and non-Jews alike became followers of Jesus. But in today's passage, Jesus is telling them this mission is not going to be easy. Jesus warns the disciples there will be opposition. He says discipleship is costly, and they are to follow him and be ready for conflict. There'll be persecution. Jesus tells them the world will hate them. When John speaks about the world in this context, he's talking about those who oppose Jesus, those who rebel against God, those who reject him. And as predicted by Jesus, the world did hate them. After Jesus' death and following on from his command, the disciples spread the gospel. And those disciples were flogged, jailed, stoned, and martyred. But it didn't stop the fruit. Christianity.com records what tradition says is likely to have happened to them. This is not in the Bible, it's based on tradition, but it illustrates the obedience and fruitfulness in the midst of hate. Let me read it to you. The 12 apostles were just ordinary working men, but Jesus formed them into the backbone of the church and gave them an extraordinary task, an imaginable task, calling the entire world to him. Look at Peter and Paul. They were in Rome. And you could be sure that any educated first century Roman citizen would have laughed at the prediction that within 3 centuries of the Christian faith, it would become the official faith of the empire. Peter and Paul were martyred in Rome about AD 66 during the persecution under Emperor Nero. Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down by tradition. Andrew went to the Soviet Union. They claim he was the first to bring the gospel to their land. He also preached in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, and in Greece, where it is said that he was also crucified. Doubting Thomas went to Syria, and tradition has him going as far as India, where he was killed by spears from soldiers. Philip went to North Africa, Asia Minor, where he converted the wife of the Roman proconsul. And in retaliation, the proconsul had Philip arrested and put to death. And it goes on and on. And every one of them, they went out to different places and planted churches, brought people to be followers of Christ. And according to this article, there was only one, and that was John, that didn't meet his death in a natural way. So in this passage, Jesus starts by telling them that the world will hate them. He was preparing them by warning them that they would be hated, but he does it in a way that says, remember that they first hated me. So Jesus is saying, as you're hated, remember they hated me first. And at this point in time, as Jesus is talking to them, they did not know the full extent of the hatred for Jesus. But following Jesus' cruel death on the cross, which would soon follow, they would be made very much aware of this hate. And despite these warnings, and even knowing what the world had done to Jesus, the disciples still undertook the mission that Jesus had left them with. Read Acts to put this persecution in context and see the spread of the gospel during this time. Jesus is not telling them they're going to be hated for no reason. He's telling them as they bear fruit, they will be hated. And this section of John's gospel that we're looking at today is only a small part of the whole story. So why did the world hate the disciples? Jesus explains this two reasons. Firstly, verse 19, he says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Jesus chose them for the purpose of bearing fruit, chose them out of the world. When Jesus talks about not being part of the world, he's not talking about physical separation. Not like Simeon Stylites, who for 36 years sat on a pillar to keep himself from being contaminated by the world. If the disciples were to do this, it would impede their fruit-bearing mission that Jesus talked about earlier in this chapter. He's talking about a new nature, joining into a new community of love. For Jesus says in verse 17, this is my command, love one another. And even the Apostle Peter writes about this. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. Live such good lives among the pagans that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your good deeds and glorify God. Aliens living among the pagans. Not living like the world, as Jesus says in verse 19, because belonging to the world means you are loved by the world. You are siding with it against God. You're siding with the lost and hateful world. As Don Carson in his commentary in John Masterly puts it, Christ's followers will be hated by the world because as they increase in intimacy, love, obedience and fruitfulness, they'll have the same effect on the world as their master. They too will appear alien, former rebels who have, by the grace of the king, been won back to a loving allegiance to their rightful monarch. They are not likely to prove popular with those that persist in rebellion. But having been chosen out of the world, having been drawn by the Messiah's love into a group John referred to as the Messiah's own, who are still in the world, their newly found alien status makes them pariahs in the world of rebels. And the second reason Jesus gives for the hate is in verse 21. He says, they will treat you this way because of my name. That is because of Jesus, because of who Jesus is. The world persecuted Jesus, and in the same way they will persecute the disciples because of their allegiance to Jesus. And a rejection of Jesus is really a rejection of God the Father. In chapter 14, Jesus answers the disciples' questions and says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Here Jesus again aligns himself with the Father, whom he says is the one who sent him. He says, he who hates me hates my Father as well. They hate Jesus because, as Jesus says in chapter 7, the world hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. Jesus came to reveal the Father, and the world has either rejected him outright or twisted what the Father said. And therefore, Jesus has come into the world to expose this sin. And for that, the world hates that. And now the world has no excuse for their sin. Yet, with no excuse, they still persecuted him. In verses 22 to 25, Jesus shows the world's guilt. He says, I spoke to them of the things of God, and they rejected me. I did miracles, and yet they still hated me, and therefore hated the Father. And all this was already predicted in Psalm 69, which, as Jesus says, is a fulfillment of the scripture. They hated Jesus without reason. The disciples identify themselves with Jesus. They are proclaiming his name. They are proclaiming the same message of Jesus. And because of this association with Jesus, the world will hate them. Jesus outlined two reasons. Firstly, the disciples will be hated because they'll be aliens, chosen out of the world by Christ, not behaving as the world wants them to, not gratifying their own desires, but showing love and putting others first. And secondly, the disciples are hated also because they are connected to the name of Jesus and therefore the Father. The world rejected and cruelly killed Jesus despite his gospel message and despite the miracles he performed, which were clearly from the Father. In the same way, the world rejects and hates the disciples. But note there's a ray of light in this passage as well. Not all the world will hate them. Verse 20, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. There will be people in the world that will turn to the living God. And this did happen. During the disciples' missions, many turned to God through their preaching. Christianity spread. You and I are brothers and sisters in Christ because of what these disciples did. Just as Jesus commanded, they spread the gospel. The first part of this chapter was about producing fruit. Bearing fruit includes hard work and opposition. But the disciples didn't let the hatred of the world stop them from bearing fruit. It's still the case today. I think it is. An article in the Australian newspaper earlier this year reported that in Muslim countries, each month, an average of 330 Christians are killed for their faith. Each month, 330 Christians killed, and a further 770 suffer serious violence. Sky News also reported this year that Christians are the most persecuted group in the world. So why do Christians stay in the Middle East? Why do missionaries still head into predominantly Muslim countries? Firstly, because of the command to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel, but also because of the fruit. Fox News reported this year that thousands of Muslims are turning to Christ in the Middle East. The article continues, in Iran, Christian house churches are regularly targeted and shut down by the nation's Islamic government. Despite this persecution, they report, Christian numbers have been growing, and today estimates suggest there are 360,000 believers in Iran, up from only 500 in 1979. Just like Jesus said, the world hates them. Those who are against Christ in the Middle East despise them. They are aliens in their own country because they belong to Christ. Oh, aren't we glad here in Australia we don't have to worry about that? Where we don't need to say anything to our workmates so that we don't get ridiculed, where we don't have to be aliens and we can just look like the rest of the world so they don't notice us. It's someone else's job anyway, isn't it? But is it? The latest Australian census has shown that those who record no religion is increasing every census. As the headlines say, for the first time there are now more saying no religion than there are Roman Catholics. The stats are pretty damning. And we've mentioned our mission statement a couple of times today. What's it say? To make disciples of Jesus in a loving church, in a local community and beyond. Does that not call us to be aliens in the way Jesus wants us to be? Living our lives for Jesus in the midst of the world? Chosen out of the world but still in it? Shining night lights, not from some alien spaceship, but by the way we live for the Father. And what's that command that Jesus repeats several times during this discourse? Love one another. Chapter 13, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And the result? By this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Caring, helping, loving, or maybe even going, even if it's only as far as Murrumbateman. Practically, what can we do? As Pastor Matt said recently, love comes in many forms, and reading the Gospels is a good start to find out what we need to do. We could start small. Start small, I said, not finish small. Supply a meal. Don't hide that you are a Christian at work. Mow an elderly neighbour's lawn. Invite someone to church or to your connect group. Befriend a neighbour. Pray. Ask God what he wants you to do to show your love. And remember, from chapter 14, we learnt that we're not alone. Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. The disciples' mighty ministry came after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit. We already have that Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait. We live in the world. You will receive rejection, scorn, ridicule. When we take a stand on some issues, you will be hated by the world. But as C.T. Studd, the founder of the mission group WEC, says, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And if we think our persecution would be hard, remember what Jesus said. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you died a cruel death for us, to reconcile us to the Father, to pay the penalty for our sins. Help us to be aliens in this world, no matter how bad the hate. Help us to stand firm in you, no matter what happens. Lord, help us to remember every day the gospel message. Help us to remember the world hated you first. Help us to be your disciples by loving one another. Amen.